Game Digest.
Hi guys, this is Game Digest. It's Colton Peterson here with Tyler Gasper, my co-host, and it is April 17th, 2009, a beautiful day in Iowa for anyone who enjoys the outdoor weather. Chigi, how are you doing today?
Not too bad. Enjoying the iced tea, and Colton has cobwebs growing on his Epsom salt.
It's all over the place here. Well, you just gotta deal with it when you live in the country. Anyway, moving on. We're gonna summarize the show here. We're gonna talk about the new Gears of War achievements. We're just gonna briefly go over Red Faction Guerrilla Warfare. There's a video for it. And then there's upcoming Chronicles of Riddick. Well, it's actually out now. When you listen to this, it'll be out. And then the World of Warcraft patch. So that's basically it. Oh, we're also gonna preview Singularity, and then
I'm gonna have a little tech segment. I'm gonna talk to you about something called the Pogo Plug.
The Pogo Plug. I like to say it hard like that. Pogo Plug.
Pogo Plug.
Yeah.
Pogo Plug.
And then I'm gonna talk about, in Fiddle's Fave, I'm gonna talk about Red Faction 2, which was my favorite game for PlayStation 2. So if you still have PlayStation 2, go out and buy that game and play it, because it's good. It's a really good game.
And then at the very end of the show, we got a review of Resident Evil 5, and although it's been out for a while, we realized that, but it's the game that we really wanted to focus on, and when we started coming up with the concept of the show, it was the newest one out, so give us a little leeway here.
Yes, we've been in development just because we've had a lot of difficulties on getting going. We've both been really business. I took off in Texas, and TG was just hanging here when we had the idea for the show right away, so we got to give him credit on that. All right, but we're going to start on our gaming news segment. Alright, the first thing we're going to talk about is the Gears of War 2 patch. And what's the first thing that entails on that, TG?
Namely, it's just got a couple new achievements for each of the new map packs that got out. I think one of them is called Frostbite, but I'm not exactly sure. But basically, one of them's like fire, one of them's like ice. I know for sure the fire one is called the Combustible Map Packs, and I believe there are four achievements. One of them is called, like, Trial by Fire on Fire, or something like that. And basically, you survive 10 waves of Horde with a teammate, and none of you die, and then you get a little achievement for it. Nothing really special. The achievements really aren't that much to talk about, but I understand there's also a new ranking system. I'll tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, there is a new ranking system, folks, and instead of having the symbols by your name now, they've gotten rid of that, and they kind of did this weird Call of Duty-type ranking system where you gain XP from killing people, but the negative part about this, folks, is if you leave a match early, it is going to dock you 1,000 points. In some games, you're just not getting that in. I understand that there's a lot of people that are running around with chainsaws or are really good with a shotgun, and you're just not going to rank in the points that you want to get. So you might have some troubles getting up in rank, but I have some friends that are pretty good at Gears of War 2. His name's Razroth on Xbox 360. You got to invite him, talk to him. He's a cool guy. And he doesn't know that I'm doing this, so go ahead and add him to your friends list. But yeah, that's basically what it is. You're going to get all the points that you get for the kills that you have are going to go towards your total rank. And then if you win the match, you'll get extra points from that also, I do believe. So that's it. It's not that great. And the 1,000 points docks from leaving a match early is kind of bold. But I think all around it wasn't a bad patch.
I don't think Call of Duty doesn't dock you experience points for leaving early.
No, Call of Duty
does
not.
That almost kind of makes this worse.
I'm
not sure if I much care for that.
I don't care for that at all. Call of Duty, just all the points in that game that you would have made aren't accepted then in Call of Duty. You just don't get those points. You don't get dock points. You just don't get the points. Which, that's not bad at all. I understand that. They're just saying, hey, we're not going to give you points for not finishing.
Yeah, but I mean, in Gears especially, there are so many people that are just, let's face it, better than a lot of us that are out there, like me. I get ganked in Gears of War all the time. But docking points for leaving, I don't know about you, but sometimes I want to leave, seriously, because there's one time I got paired with this D-bag that thought he was all that, and he really wasn't, and I wanted to leave, but yeah.
You really, there is no option to actually even leave the game, too, which is another thing that you either have to exit to your dashboard or turn off your Xbox, as far as I know. I may be right, correct me if I'm wrong, emails, anything, I'm not sure. But That's, as far as I know, that's the way it goes. It's, you can't even actually leave a match unless you leave to your dashboard or get offline.
Well, that's really just...
PG.
Yeah, let's go with that. That's a nicer word than the one I was going to use.
All right, let's move on to the next thing that we got in gaming news. I'm excited about this because I was a big Red Faction fan, and I was a big Red Faction 2 fan. That game blew me out of the water. It was awesome. And they've announced Red Faction 3, which is actually called Red Faction Guerrilla Warfare. They put a video up on their website. It's just a really cool website video. You just go on IGN, and it should be posted right on the website page. You just click on it, bring it up to the video, and it shows you what this game is all about. And it's not even close to being what it was in the first Red Faction, so I'm a little iffy I'm going to like it or not. It's more of an open-world, destructive-type game where you blow stuff up, and the buildings are supposed to be really realistic on how you could take them down. Like, you blow up a support beam, and then the building falls that way. But what do you think about that?
I don't know. I only played Red Faction 2 a couple times with my buddy Tom. And that was fun. We played just in the multiplayer, just went around and shot each other. It was good fun. You know, just, I like shooting things. But, enough said. But, is it going to take away from, like, the whole focus of the other games where it used to be an FPS, and then all of a sudden it's open world, just blowing everything up, or is it still going to have, like, a whole, like, main storyline? There's no, like, drifting off in this direction or that direction or anything,
you know,
like that.
I think it'll have a main storyline, and I think you'll be able to drift, too. So I think I'm just going to leave options for you guys to kind of explore. I think that's what they're trying to do with this game, because there wasn't options in the first two. Is you follow the path, and you could blow up a pillar to nothing left, but it didn't do anything to help you. It just made the pillar blow up, which was cool. But it didn't do anything.
Well, who doesn't like blowing things up?
Exactly.
I know I do.
That's why they added it to the game in the first place. But moving on to the next piece of news that we got, The Chronicles of Riddick is going to be out by the time you hear this podcast, and it was supposed to come out April 4th, I do believe. Correct me if I'm wrong there. You guys will. I know you will. And it's called Chronicles of Riddick, Assault on Dark Thena, and it's from Atari. It's going to be a really good game. I'm excited for it. And along with this, you can go to IGN, and there's a video posted there too. We're all going to have this in the notes for the show. We're going to leave a comment on our page, and we'll have all the links and stuff in there. So if you guys don't want to listen to us and go to the website, you can just look at the links and be like, oh, look, that's cool, and yay! Yeah! So what do you think about Riddick? Did you ever watch the movies?
I did watch the one Chronicles of Riddick. Just the one with the Necromongers and all that stuff. It wasn't bad. Personally, I've never been a fan of Vin Diesel movies, but, you know, maybe that's just me. I've never actually... I know there was a Chronicles of Riddick game before this. It was like Escape from Butcher Bay, I believe is what it was called.
Yeah, that sounds right. Butcher's Bay. That would make
Escape from Butcher Bay, yeah.
That's actually one of the prisons. They mentioned that in the third movie for the Riddick series. There's actually three of them, folks. There's Pitch Black, which is the first one, and then there's an animation one right in between that and the actual Chronicle of Riddick, which is the last movie with the Necromongers, like Tyler Gaster said over here. And I believe you're right, there is one for Butcher's Bay, but I think that was for Xbox and PlayStation 2.
I believe so, yes. I thought about getting the game. They did a little thing about it on G4, I believe, at one time, and I said, hey, that looks kind of cool, but I was poor at the time, I didn't have a job, so I did not buy the game.
You know, I saw it in actually one of my gaming magazines, and I thought it looked cool then. It actually made it on, like, the top five for that gaming magazine. I thought that was neat, because I didn't even actually hear of it. There was a lot of games that were good back then that I didn't hear of, though.
Wow. That's true.
That is true.
They're kind of getting the news out there more often now than they did before.
Well, so. Our advertising business for video games has just taken off. I mean, you see more commercials about video games now on cable channels than you do for Dove. And, I mean, Dove used to be all over the place. You'd see that leg and the soap bar, and you know, hey, it's a Dove commercial. Dove. It makes your skin soft.
Really, that's not what I was thinking. I was, yeah, let's not even get into that.
Okay, yeah.
But next on our news, we have the new WoW patch, which just came out not too long ago. And some of the new things that this patch added, ground mounts now can swim. You don't get dismounted when you swim in the water. It's only 80% of your mounted, like, run speed on the actual land.
That's
still pretty fast. Yeah. It's faster than you would swim just, you know, swimming without your mount. Also, something interesting, they've got a new thing added called dual spec. You can, like, spec into two different talent trees at the same time, so you can just switch between them whenever you want to, is my understanding. Which will make it easy if you want to, like, switch between, like, a healing and a tanking spec, or DPS and something else, I'm not exactly sure. But, qualifications for that, you have to be at level 40 in order to even get dual specialization, and it costs 1,000 gold, which is kind of expensive for a level 40, but, you know, it sounds like it'd be worth it. Also, they added a new instance, which made this patch really huge. It's called Ulduar, I think is how you pronounce it. That sounds pretty interesting. I don't know a whole lot about it yet. I think Colton might. What do you know anything about this?
I do, actually. I've been inside Ulduar. I have a rogue, so I snuck around a little bit. And the first boss is actually kind of a bit. You just you don't use any of your stuff. You're in siege engines to take him out, and it's kind of neat. I believe my guild, actually, on my server was an hour and 45 minutes behind the first people to take out that first boss. So we were running close. We didn't get to it. I thank everyone from Carbon on Anvilmar. Woohoo! Rock on. Anyway, but yeah, that's Ulduar. It's really neat looking. It's the story behind it is they're investigating this place where one of the Titans live, back from like Ulduman. And
okay, yeah, I know what you mean. The Titans.
And you know how there was the dark guy at the end of the instance? Did you ever get that far?
Yeah, I think so. I vaguely remember it. Yes.
You have to take three people to summon him. Well, this is basically the same thing, but we find out that Ulduar is actually a prison for the god of death, for the Titans. So he's actually the Titan of Death, and it's prison for him, and he's corrupted the people around him for being in, encased for I don't know how many years, but it's been a long
millennia,
time.
Millennia, yeah, probably. From my understanding of the WoW history and storyline, he's been in there a long time.
And then next, they introduced the Argent Dawn Tournament, and that's off the coast of Ice Crown, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
Where all the Penguin Sunbathe, where you get that Critter Bite achievement. You got that yet?
No, I do not have the Critter Bite achievement. I'm still trying to get to all the squirrels I've loved before, which is turning out to be more difficult than I thought it would be, actually. Tracking down all those little furry critters.
Those.
Dang them for hiding from me.
There's that slash love thing, too, isn't there? Like,
yeah, you go up to all the different critters, and you click slash love.
Yes.
And then once you do it to, like, I don't know, 50 of the little mofos, then you get this little achievement called to all the squirrels I loved before. Basically, I just want it because of the name. I just think it's kind of neat. Maybe I'm just a little weird.
No, I totally understand. I like the Grizzly Hills achievement. For Grizzle My Snizzle? Is that what it's called?
Oh, Grizzle My Shizzle. Yes, I have that achievement also.
That's a good achievement.
That's like the only reason I quested there is because I wanted to have an achievement called Faux Grizzle My Shizzle.
It's kind of a boring questing area. I mean, you go from Dragonblight, right?
Yeah.
Where you have the epic Wrathgate experience.
I do like the Wrathgate cinematic, I have to say. That was pretty awesome.
I watched it five times.
That was one of the first in-game cinematics they've had, actually.
Yes, like, actually. It's revolutionizing the MMORPG world, and I'm excited for this. You know, that was a big thing, and that's what the Argent Tournament is. I mean, the zombie mod in October, right before Wrath of the Lich King, and then they went on to do that epic feeling about that single player, what you did to help out during the Wrathgate experience. And then you go to Grizzly Hill, and you're questing to take a crap. You know, I don't know about that.
Basically, he's right. I agree with him basically wholeheartedly on this. The Grizzly Hills, for me, while the land itself looked really cool, like, in its layout and just kind of the whole idea behind it, the quests in it were boring, I have to say. They weren't interesting. There wasn't, except for the one with the troll, there really wasn't any single one that had a really interesting storyline behind it.
With all the mojo?
Yes, the mojo gathering quest where it takes you to Dragtheron Keep eventually, and then that storyline actually continues on into Zul'Drak. And, like, the first, like, 30 or so quests you do there are kind of centered around that particular troll also. But anyways, we're getting off topic. Back to the Argent Dawn Tournament.
Do you want me to talk about this a little bit more since
I've been
playing
lately?
Yes,
please. Just go ahead.
What the Argent Tournament, folks, is it is a tournament to ingratiate yourself with your faction. So if you're Alliance, you can ingratiate yourself with, let's say you're a gnome, you could wear the tabard, or you could proclaim yourself to Darnassus and get rep with them. And there's actually a meta achievement for this that says if you get, it's called Champion of the Alliance and Champion of the Horde, I believe, and I know you guys are going to correct me if I'm wrong again, but it's basically you get exalted reputation with all of your factions, and then you get that. And so it sounds like it's going to be a big thing, and it's going to be around for a while. So, and the storyboard behind this is kind of like, this is the Argent Crusade saying, You are going to be my battle-hearted warriors, and this is basically you trying to get ready to take the fight to Arathis and at the Wrathgate. So, I mean, that's what you're doing.
You mean an ice crown?
An ice crown, yes, excuse me.
Well, it does sound interesting. It kind of just sounds like, maybe for me, I don't know, but it sounds like this would be a big plus for me. It's just an easier way to grind rep with your factions. I mean, some of those factions, it's a real pain in the ass trying to, I don't know, get rep with them. It just seems to take forever because they don't have that many dailies or whatnot. But, so, tell me this. So, do you only get rep with the faction that you're wearing the tabard for at the time when you're participating in the tournament? Or does it grind rep with, like, all the ones you're friendly with at the same time?
I think you have to actually pick a faction, and then after you're done getting exalted with that faction, you can later, I don't know if it's going to be in the next patch, if you'll be able to exchange factions. I'm not even sure if you're set down to the one faction now, but I'm almost positive you have to do, like, a quest that says, hey, this is the faction that I chose. Kind of like when you chose sides back when you had to go to Shattrath and picks.
Oh, yeah, and also kind of like the one they have in Sholazar Basin now with the Frenzy Heart and the Oracles.
Yes,
kind of like that.
That's
okay.
Exactly what it is.
Alright, I understand you on that now.
And going back to dual spec, I actually have been into the game, and I have my dual spec for my rogue, and I have a PvP set up, and then I have my rating spec set up. And it's kind of neat because when you switch back from your specs, the bars actually switch back with you. So however you have your bars saved for your rating spec, when you click on your rating spec, cast the 5-second cast time, it lets you to switch over to your spec. All your bars then switch over also. So you kind of have this cool bar switching over thing, and you don't have to do as much work as if you would have had to change specs beforehand. So
yeah, you don't have to pay to keep switching in between them. And let's face it, after a while, once you get paying to get switch between specs, it got really expensive.
It got really expensive. And especially endgame raiders that had been there ever since the patch came out. Because people would get up to the cap level in both Burning Crusade and Wrath of the Lich King, and
or even
less
before
than a
that,
week.
Even just classic.
Yeah, just a week they would get, and it's amazing how fast they did it. But they get up in a week and they'd already be raiding. And it was, they just switching back and forth from a tank and then to do your dailies to switch it again. That's 50 gold twice a day, maybe. That's a lot of money. And then considering repairs, too, if you wear plate, that's a lot of money.
Especially for me, I don't know about, I know I'm kind of a tool, I guess. I play a Death Knight, but he is a tank. He's not a stupid, unholy spec where they come back as a freaking ghoul and piss people off after they think they're dead. Sorry, that was just me getting angry. I apologize.
But that's basically what we know about the WoW patch, and it has come out, and it's big. I had to take a whole bunch of games off my computer to get it down. Well, that's just because of the stupid downloader. But that's our gaming news, and we're going to move on to our Singularity review.
Preview,
yes, our Singularity preview. Alright, okay, this is developed by Raven Software, who also did Jedi Academy, if any of you played that. It's doing X-Men Origins, which is about Wolverine, and the game is going to be produced by Activision.
I believe, actually, the most recent game they made prior to this one was actually back in 2000. It was called Soldier of Fortune. I've never actually played it. I have a friend who's played it. He thought it was okay. It was just your basic FPS, you know, kind of shoot-em-up thing. But
was that army based then, like military?
I think you were playing like a mercenary, is from what I understand. Soldier of Fortune, you know.
Yeah, I get it. Makes sense.
But this game is a little bit different. It's going to focus a lot on the storyline, from what we hear, and it's also going to differ a little bit in the fact that it's a sci-fi thriller, first-person shooter.
So, folks, this is a sci-fi thriller, first-person shooter. I'm for one excited about it. We have a lot to say about it.
Well, we do have a lot to say about it. We just watched a trailer and it looks absolutely freaking awesome. If you want to check out the trailer, actually, go to the Ravensoft website. Then you'll see a link and you click on Singularity and then you click the visit website to go to the trailer, and it is awesome. The graphics look very good, and I don't know. It just looks freaking awesome. Just check it out, please. But the basic storyline of the game is you're going to be controlling an American U.S. Air Force pilot named Nate Renko, and you're doing, like, I don't know, I think it's some kind of a recon mission, just kind of up by Russia, and then you're going to mysteriously be shot at, quote-unquote, and you will crash land on this island, which you will find out is called Katorga 12. And apparently, back in the 50s, Russia was conducting experiments with Element 99. And this was during the Cold War, of course, so both the U.S. and the Russians were doing some very strange things. But apparently, during this time period, the island experienced a catastrophe known as the Singularity, where it's causing the island to shift between the 1950s and the present day. Kind of try to imagine, like, maybe a child on a swing set.
Or a pendulum.
Yeah, a pendulum, if you even want
like
to consider that.
In a grandfather clock type thing?
Kind of, but let's stick with my little analogy with a child on a swing set here for a minute, because it's going to be relevant, just trust
okay.
me. Swings back between the 1950s and the present day, but then if you imagine, if you will, the child drags its feet in between, it's going to bring some things with it that you normally wouldn't expect to see there. There's some really weird enemies, along with just, you know, Red Army Russian soldiers and more contemporary Russian soldiers that are going to be on that island. But anyways, after Renko crashes, he's going to wake up to find this device known as the TMD, or Time Manipulation Device, and it's going to be attached to his arm. And he also finds that, like I just said, the island is constantly shifting between the years 2010 and the 1950s. And I'm not sure if this is actually going to be in the game, but from what we've seen in the trailer, apparently you're going to be in contact with a mysterious man. He's going to be giving you information. We're not sure. They made it seem like this was important, like this dude was actually talking to you in the game. But Ravensoft is keeping this very hush-hush, and we know almost nothing about it.
In fact, they neglected to tell Activision about this when they first started working on it, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I believe the two people who head Ravensoft are brothers, and I believe the one who actually heads the company, actually, the other brother is, like, his employee. He actually told them, like, get started on this, because it looks like it's a good idea, but I might have to pull the plug on it at any time. So, yeah, initially even Activision didn't really know about it, but from what I understand, they actually gave them the go-ahead to just use the original IP once Activision saw it, which is apparently, like, a crowning achievement in Activision. So that's pretty cool also. But anyways, Renko's mission is apparently to find and rescue his co-pilot who has gone missing, and then prevent an event known as a singularity, and then escape the island, which sounds like it's going to be harder than it seems. Like we said, the graphics look excellent. The game is going to be released for the Xbox 360, PS3, and the PC. And multiplayer elements have been confirmed. They've said that much. They are confirmed. There will be multiplayer elements of some kind. And why don't we talk about some of the powers this TMD gives you? Like, why don't you start this off, Cole?
Oh, it's neat, guys. This has got some cool powers. Let's say you see a barrel top lying in the corner. This is present day. Let's say you're walking down present day. You just find out you have this TMD, quote, very creative time manipulation device attached to your arm. You see this barrel top sitting in front of you, and it's all rusty and stuff. You can pick that up with a TMD, and you bring it back to its present day condition, and those barrels have element 99, E99, which is supposedly something that can manipulate time. And what did you say about E99?
Oh, element 99, actually, if you look on the real periodic table, is actually an element known as Einsteinium, which, as far as I know, doesn't allow you to control time or anything like that. But just in case it does, go out and get this shit, because that would be awesome.
Buy it. By the gallons, okay? I want drumfuls. I'm putting drumfuls just on my backyard. I'm going to fill it up with element 99. This, what is it called again?
Einsteinium.
Einsteinium.
Because, the guy with the crazy hair. It's named after him.
Yes. This is the dude that made the atom bomb.
E=MC².
Exactly. But the TMD is going to give you the power to manipulate just about anything in the game. You can bring it back in time, you can move it forward in time, you can make it rusty, you can make it new, you can even turn your enemies into a fetus. I mean, that's what it is, right?
Yes, there's four different powers that have been confirmed. There might be more, we're not exactly sure, like we said, it's all very hush-hush. But there's one, which is basically age, which moves things forward in time, so you can, like, crumble a pillar that will send, like, enemies, like, sitting up on, like, a barracks or a balcony or something, like, falling to their deaths or something like that. Or if you actually use it on an enemy, it can actually, like, move him forward in time, and, you know, then he's going to turn into a skeleton and be dead. And he will experience a very painful and horrifying death, which will be very satisfying for you.
Yes.
Well, at least if you're me, I'm kind of sadistic. But then there's also going to be Revert, which is basically the opposite of Age, goes backwards in time. And if you use that on an enemy, like Colton said, it reverts them basically to a fetus, in which they will also experience a very agonizing and painful death. And then there are also two other powers, there's one called Stasis, and I think it's called, what is it? It's basically like a throw. Mm. But these two powers, if you use them in concert, kind of, if you've ever played Half-Life 2, it's basically exactly like the gravity gun, which was really fun to mess around with.
Oh, especially when you got it powered up at the end of the game. That was neat. I liked that. Oh, and another thing here, folks, is that you got to remember, you're going to be running through this game with present-day assault rifles and SMGs, and those people in the past aren't going to have that weaponry. So it's going to be fun, whereas you can play the element, you can really use the TMD if you want to, or you can just go around in a regular FPS and kind of just rob these people of their dignity because your guns are so advanced.
That's only when you're in the 1950s. The Red Army, they're... guns are going to be much less sophisticated than yours. But also remember, it's not just going to be Russian soldiers you're fighting. There's going to be some very other very strange time warp things going to be in there. I think one of them is called like Zex or something.
Is that the one that shifts through time?
Yeah, it's the one that like hides in like temporal space or some kind of junk. But they're basically like Russian soldiers who were there during the Singularity, and now they've turned into these monsters which can like phase in and out of time. And they'll, like, use that to, like, sneak up on you and attack you and stuff like that. And then there's also these things called phase ticks. I'm not exactly sure what they do, but they're giant bugs that kind of look like the Flood from Halo, if you remember that, in their, like, infection form.
Yep.
The little things that would run along the ground, they pop like a bubble when you shoot them. But they'll be much bigger.
I wouldn't shoot them near you. That's my advice to the player of this game. Don't shoot those ticks when you're around them. Shoot them away.
But you can also use, like, the revert power to, like, turn them into tiny little ticks and just step on them, maybe. I'm not sure if you can actually step on them, but you'll be able to kill them much easier.
That would be cool, though, stepping on them.
It would be cool to just step on them, just be gratifying to see, die, bitch, die.
Just Nate Ranko taking his boot and slamming it down on that teeny tick.
It would be pretty awesome to see that.
Nate Ranko. That name...
Ranko almost sounds kind of Russian.
Which would contradict the plot line here, folks. He's supposed to be United States, and he's got... Renko. Nedrenko.
Nedrenko.
You just got the Russian grr to it. Renko. But, and then you look at the island, and that makes sense, though, because that was supposed to be Russian. Katorga.
Katorga 12.
That reminds me of, like, us putting Prime after every planet. I think we should do that still. Pluto Prime. Earth Prime.
You know Pluto's not a planet anymore, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah. They took that out.
They took that away. We still love you, Pluto. Don't worry.
We still love you, Pluto.
We still think you're a planet.
Cheers to that in these troubling times.
We're drinking iced tea. For those of you who wondered what that was, we just clinked glasses.
Yes, we did.
Yes, because we're like that.
And
no, we're not.
So, folks, we have this awesome game that has gorgeous graphics, is a sci-fi thriller, first-person shooter for those fans who just likes to shoot the crap out of anything he sees.
And apparently the AI is also very smart. They'll actually use tactics. Like, I believe in some of the research we did and we were reading about it in the few things we've learned.
Like, are you talking military tactics here?
Yeah, like, they'll use, like, tactics. Like, they know, like, the contemporary Russian soldiers, at least, know about these time things on the island. Because they're also trying to get their hands on, like, the time manipulation device and that kind of technology. But from what I understand, there's one video where they were allowed to see where Nate Ranko is fighting a group of contemporary Russian soldiers, and they're actually consciously flanking him to push him towards a nest of phase ticks, so they will kill him.
See, that right there...
So intelligent AI, folks. Intelligent AI.
And from what I understand, it's kind of like where they did in Left 4 Dead, where it has the random spawn. So everything's not going to be in the same place for you. So you're going to be able to play through the game multiple times without being bored. I mean, and that's always a plus, because that means you get the full dollar out of the game, in my opinion. And in these troubling times, that's important. You don't want to spend $60 on a game that you're only going to want to play once.
Exactly. Replay value is important.
Replay value is important.
Exactly. Oh, and also forgot to mention, there's also going to be some puzzles, from what we understand, that are going to involve the time manipulation device. That should be interesting also. Little brain teasers, keep your mind active.
I know there's a lot of people. My mother, for instance, which I'm bringing up in the show, kind of makes me feel weird. She likes to play Tomb Raider a lot because there's the puzzles in there, and then some people enjoy that a lot.
Your mom games?
Oh yeah, she used to game quite frequently.
That's kind of hot.
Yeah. Now she's a business lady, though, and she doesn't have time for me and my games. We used to sit there and play Twisted Metal all the time. Oh, abode the memories.
But, Twisted Metal, that was a fun game.
Oh, Twisted Metal 4 all the time. All the way, baby. Back when I had only the PlayStation 1.
Once again, a game I played with my buddy Tom. We might have to have him on the show sometime.
Oh, we will definitely have Tom on the show sometime.
But he doesn't like to talk very much.
No, we'll have to yell at him to talk.
Oh, we might have to. This is true.
We'll have to be vigilant. Vigilant?
Like, I'm not sure if that's the right word to use, but we will be vigilant.
We'll be ferocious.
And him talking.
We will make him talk. We kind of sound like Germans here. We will make him talk.
Achtung, Achtung. I'm sorry.
Granada.
Yes.
That's what I know.
Grenade.
I know how to say
Geister
that.
Geisterfahren.
I don't know.
That means ghost driver, just in case you didn't know. I actually take German. Colton does not.
I don't. I watch him take German, though. It is quite interesting. He yells at the computer program, and he yells in the mic and says, "Gosh darn you, Audacity, why don't you work right? I hate you so much, and I'm gonna sit on you." And I'm just like...
I don't know if I said I'm going to sit on you. I think I used some...
More vulgar contextual words.
I like to use profanity very much. I am restraining myself right now occasionally. But... Especially when I used Audacity. Colton is much better with it than I am. I can't figure it out, and it makes me extremely angry, and I want to punch it in the proverbial face.
Proverbial face.
You're dysgraphic. It's okay. I know you can't say big words.
That's true. Alright. We got a little off topic out there.
That's okay, though.
Yes, and I don't know if we mentioned it before, but I'm going to say it again. This will be for the Xbox 360 and the PS3 and the PC. And from what I know about game releases, it'll come out on the Xbox for sure first, and there'll probably be a demo on the Xbox, because there always is, and that's free to download for all you Xbox people if you don't know that already, which I'm sure almost all of you do. And then for the PS3 next, and then probably PC last.
I don't know, it's probably going to be Xbox 360, PS3 almost. I'm thinking they're going to be released in concert. PC will definitely... almost definitely be last, because that's just the way those things kind of go if they're not released for the PC first.
I don't understand that anyway, because they actually develop it on the computer itself, so I don't understand how it just doesn't play for the computer first.
But whatever.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
But basically, folks, this game's going to be released sometime this year, 2009, and it looks awesome. Check out the vid. We're going to have the link probably on our website anyway, but... So, yeah, go and check it out. It's already on our radars, and it looks like it's going to be a good game, and probably later this year we'll have a review for it. So, wait for that.
Wait for the review. Episode 300. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't think we'll get 300 episodes out by that time. I highly doubt it.
Okay, we're going to move on to the next topic. And TG?
Oh, yes, this is my tech segment. We get to talk about the Pogo plug.
He likes to say it hard with a little burp in there. The Pogo... I can't... Burp, I'm a little guy, okay?
He is very skinny, this is true, but that's entirely off topic. Back to my tech segment! Alright. Basically, the reason I chose this thing was because its name caught my attention. Pogo plug. I'm just like, whoa, what is this? This sounds kind of interesting. So I went and clicked on the link, and I took a look at it, and basically what I found out from my research is this little device here allows you to connect your USB hard drive to your local network, actually, and then puts the files on your USB hard drive onto the internet so you can more easily share files with your friends. This is not a new idea in its concept, but this is apparently an exceedingly simple device to set up and use, and it requires
From what I saw, you just plugged it in the wall, right?
Yeah, basically it looked like you just plug it into your local area connection, then you plug your like USB hard drive inside of it. Deep inside of it, and, getting that nice and deep black, but anyways, you plug it in there, and then it connects to your internet, puts the files on there so you can share them, but it requires barely any geek knowledge to get it running, so it's going to be simple for people who are not so tech savvy like myself and Colton. Also, it's only a $99 price tag for this little gadget, and there are no monthly fees to use this thing. Basically, once you get your Pogo plug... You go to the Pogo Plug site, and you go to this little menu, and you register your unit, and that will allow you to give password-controlled access over the web to the storage device you have plugged into your Pogo Plug, which is kind of nice, extra security there. And You can share the directories on the drive just by clicking the share button on the website, and then you can also optionally enter email addresses, and that will let you send out invitations to people you actually want to share the files with. And for all you people who are, you know, have a lot of money and own an iPhone, there is also an application for you for the Pogo Plug, which will allow you to view files stored on it and upload iPhone photos back to the drive and also stream music. So that's a nice little thing for you guys out there. So,
The stream music thing. I think they'll catch people with the streaming music because there's a lot of people that they want to stream their they want to stream their music.
But once again, this is only for the iPhone. So me and you won't be able to do this because
we both have
we're the common man here. We don't have all this fancy stuff.
And no money. We're poor. But anyway.
We are poor, except for this microphone and this computer we're recording the show on.
The recorder's not so poor, but the microphone's not the greatest, which we do plan to sometime get something a little bit better.
Once we actually get money.
Yes.
We both do have jobs, but we need to save money first.
We need to. 10% plan. No, I'm just that would be forever for me. But I think the Pogo Plug's cool. I personally would never go out and buy it because I don't need its purposes. But if I was ever in a situation where I would want it or need it, and I did have some extra cash, which I don't, I would probably go out and buy it because it's a neat little thing, and I just like the name Pogo Plug. It's very catchy.
Pogo Plug is a very catchy name, I'd have to agree.
Pogo Plug. Yeah.
We were harmonizing right there. That was pretty awesome.
Harmonizing. We were serenading you. That's what we were doing.
Yeah, serenading. Colton gracing us with his singing voice. That's a rare occasion. Keep this. Keep this. He never sings.
Put it on your iPod. Put it on your iPhone. Because you're going to need a Pogo Plug for your iPhone.
But the only snag I really caught was that, like, you can't, as far as I could see, you can't really use more than one USB hard drive. So once you use a certain hard drive on this thing, you can't really register another one. So, but that's just, you know, like a version, like, 1.0, like, you know, hiccup that they get with all the prototype things like this that they come out with. But, like I said, very easy to use. Pretty small price tag for the gadget, and there's no monthly fees. Easy to set up and use, share with a bunch of files with your friends. If you're into that social networking type thing, we're not because we're gamers, but some of you out there might be. You actually have friends, and it will be glorious.
You will enjoy yourself, and you will enjoy your Pogo Plug.
I would just enjoy having a Pogo Plug, just say, yeah, I have a Pogo Plug.
And everyone would be like, what the heck's a Pogo Plug? And be like, that's right.
That's right, get one.
Get one.
But
find out.
But that's basically all we have for the Pogo Plug, and now we're moving on to Fiddle's Fave. Take it away, Colton.
The game that I chose for this is Red Faction 2, which I announced earlier in the show that I just loved this game. Red Faction 2 was by far the greatest gaming experience that I've ever had. It was back when I had a PlayStation 2. It didn't have online. I didn't have online because I didn't want to spend, what, $50 on one of the modems you put in the back of those
things? That is true. I also never got PS2 online because that was just redonkulous.
Yeah, they should have put it in the system. That was shame on you, Sony. Something you can fix for later.
But they actually did that with the PS3.
They did it on the PS3, too. And then they made wireless, which was good. That was also
good. That was also very nice. It's also free.
It is free. And
not as many people play it as the Xbox 360.
Which I don't understand. You got like 12 million people getting on the Xbox 360 every day, and then you go about down to 10 million with the PS3.
Well, that's because the PS3 is redonkulously expensive. And yeah, yes, I did just use the word redonkulously twice.
In a row, people. But anyway, this game was developed by Volition, and it was published by THQ. It was released in October of 2002, so...
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago, but it had really good graphics.
I was only like in, God, I don't even know, 2002. I would have been like in fourth grade or something, probably.
You would have been a squirt then. I would have been in fifth grade.
I wouldn't have had facial hair back then.
That would have been
sad.
Right in 2002. Wouldn't that have been October? World Trade Centers would have happened right around then.
The World Trade Centers would have happened just a year before, actually.
Yeah, just a year before. That's something right there. And it was, you could play on the GameCube, the Xbox, the PS2, or the PC. So if you had any of those things...
Multi-platformer, so I'm guessing it probably sold quite a few copies.
It did. And I know that the computer version is cheap as dirt. So if you do want to get your hands on it, the computer version is just as fun as any of the platform versions. And it's just as good. It was a good game. But moving on to the story, the plot behind this, the storyline... The main character is a nano-enhanced soldier by the name of Alias, and he's in a squad of soldiers.
Doesn't Alias, that's like saying you have like an alias, is like saying you have a different name, but that's actually his name is Alias?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's kind of strange.
It is kind of strange. But the battle takes place on Earth, and it's a battle between the Red Faction and Sol Pot and his elite force of soldiers, and the process, which he uses, and I'll explain that later. They're fighting with the Red Faction, like I said. They're a group of rebels that are basically trying to free them from Sol Pot, who's a communist dictator, basically.
And he has a really cool hat.
He has a really neat hat, which takes place, and you get to actually, after you beat the game, you get to play a game about the hat, and it's called the Hat Game. And you can do that multiplayer, and it's a lot of fun.
They really did, they did an offshoot game called the Hat Game.
I don't know if you guys know what the Bagman type is, but there was a Bagman type game on the game, and it's you pick up a bag, and you try to hold it for as long as you can, and you get points for how long you hold it, for every second.
So it's kind of like the Halo thing where you pick up the
Oddball.
Oddball, where
yes.
You get the skull, and whoever runs around with it long enough
yes,
gets points.
It's basically Oddball, except this huge hat would cover half your body, and you'd run around with a huge hat that Sol Pot was wearing in the game. And it was just neat. It was fun to play. And then it's 1 to 4 players on the console, so you'd have to have a multi-tap if you're playing on PlayStation. And I don't know if you could even do that with computer unless you had a multi-networking link type thing set up, which I'm not technical enough to do that. I probably could, but it would take me a while. And then you could have up to 5 bots. And then for how many ever players, I think you could only have 4 bots if you had 4 players. So up to 8 people in a game at a time. And it was a lot of fun to do back in the day. I used to do it a lot. But going back to the storyboard more, you are with the Red Faction, Alias, and you are with another group of super-enhanced soldiers that were made to just be smarter, faster, and
basically just more kick-ass than the other guys.
Yeah, just more kick-ass than modern people. And they did this on Mars, and that's where the first game took place. And this technology was brought back to Earth and given to Sol Pot, who then destroyed all of the elite soldiers, Alias's type soldiers that were made, and created these hideous zombie-like things called the Process. And the Process are basically things that have been exposed to so much of this nano-enhancement that they turn into really powerful zombies. They're dumb as all get out, but they can take a lot of bullets, so that's part of the game where you have to be kind of ammo conservative and know what you're doing. Because it does get kind of hard there, especially if you play on the hardest difficulty. It can get you. It's
You actually beta tested this game, did you not?
I did beta test this game before it came out, and I only got to play 2 levels, and it wasn't the first 2 levels. It was actually in the middle of the game, and it would have been there was a level where I was driving a tank, so you get to drive vehicles in this game, which is kind of fun. And then there was a level where I was fighting the Process, and both of them were pretty good on the beta test. There wasn't very many glitches on the beta test, because I got a later version of the beta test. It wasn't the first one, of course, because the company usually takes care of that. And, you know, I thought it was good. The game itself is great. My favorite game I've ever played. And
it made him do naughty things in his pants when he first got it.
Yeah, there were some hot girl characters in that game, let me tell you. Tangier? Ooh, yeah. By the way,
this was also back when graphics weren't so good, but we didn't know any better back then, because we didn't see the, like,
graphics like
awesome
Dead Space and Singularity that are hot today on the PS3 and
exactly.
Xbox 360.
Bioshock. Bioshock is awesome.
And they're coming out with a second one of that, too.
Yes, they are. They're actually coming out with a second Bioshock. Maybe we can do a preview on that or something in the next episode. But anyway, keep talking about this game exactly. I'm a little confused on the storyline. What exactly is Sol Pot? How did he become a dictator? Do you know anything about that? Like,
I'm pretty sure he is the dictator throughout the first game, but in the first game you're on Mars, which is a mining facility, which, folks, that's where you will be on Guerrilla Warfare, Red Faction Guerrilla Warfare. You actually be on Mars again, and you're rebelling.
Are you still playing as Alias, or are you just playing as like a...
No.
Is it gonna be... Are you like... So in Guerrilla Warfare, that if it's an uprising, does that mean the miners are like...
Yes.
Uprising? Okay,
yes.
So you're playing as the miners.
Yes. You're
kinda
playing
like...
as a miner. You're one person, I think, in the game, and you're playing as him. And it's all cool. There's all sorts of cool stuff in that game. But now back to the story part where you're saying, is Alias in this game? And Alias can't be in this game because Alias, Tangier, and Shrike all take up places in the new government after you defeat Sol Pot. And there's actually a few twists and turns in the story that I don't want to tell you because if you haven't played the game, it's really cool to see what happens.
So in other words, buy Red Faction 2, or at least... You know, like Colton said, the PC version is dirt cheap. You don't need to get it for the platformer. But the storyline is apparently really cool, and it'll make things more interesting and understandable when the Guerrilla Warfare comes out if you actually decide to check that game out also. Mm-hmm. So,
and I believe you can download Red Faction 2 right off of Steam, if I'm not wrong. So you should be able to just get it right off the internet, and that's like $5 to download that game. So, I mean, you got $5, just get your credit card out and buy it.
I don't have $5 in cash right now.
Don't have $5 in cash right now either. Guys, this is a really good sci-fi game. It's first-person shooter if you enjoy it. There's a ton of cool weapons in the game. There's cool vehicles in the game if you like that. It's just all around one of the best first-person shooters that I... And all my friends back in the day were talking about, oh, let's go have a Halo party, let's go have a Halo party, blah, 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 blah. And Halo was great, but man, would I rather have played Red Faction. And some of the people that were really big into Halo came over to my house and played Red Faction after they'd been a big Halo fan, and decided that they'd rather have played Halo or Red Faction 2 with me back at home than gone to those Halo parties, just because Red Faction 2 did have a really cool multiplayer thing going on for it, and it was just a really cool storyline.
Even though we both now probably have attended several Halo parties, only now it's Halo
I
3
have not.
Instead of the original Halo.
I have never attended,
you have never attended
a Halo
party.
No.
Why not?
No one invites me.
That's weird.
It is
I'll
weird.
Invite you next time.
Well, there we go. I'm going to a Halo party. But anyway, guys, this is a really great game. If you have the extra money lying around and you just want something new to play, I suggest you either download it or buy it or just get your hands on a copy of it, because it's a really, really good game. And we're going to move on to our next segment now.
Yes, coming up next, we have a review of Resident Evil 5.
Resident
but we're
going to
pause it right
5.
Here because we both need a refill.
A refill. Decided to spill tea all over my kitchen. Just kidding, no, he didn't. But anyway, we're back with our Resident Evil 5 review. TG, what do you got to say? What, bring it to me. Hit me hard with a big old daddy in the face. Ow! Not literally. Yeah.
Okay, but seriously, folks. The RE5 was, I think it was a good game. Basic storyline, you're playing as Chris Redfield yet again, just as you did in the original Resident Evil. And Chris is now an agent for an organization called the BSAA, which is basically like an anti-bioterrorism unit organized by a bunch of different frickin' pharmaceutical companies. And Chris has been sent to investigate a possible bioweapons threat in Africa, and he teams up with a fellow BSAA agent named Sheva Alomar, and you soon discover that the whole population of this area you're in, which is called Kijuju, I believe, has been infected with a parasite similar to the Las Plagas you saw in Resident Evil 4, for those of you that played that game, which was excellent. And then basically you just carry on, like, you must fight to survive against all these weird people with octopuses coming out of their mouths, and all manner of messed up minions, basically, and discover what has happened in this backwater African region and stop a huge bioterrorism Armageddon, basically. But getting into the actual game now, the game mechanics, basically the same as RE4. If you played RE4, this is very easy to just figure out, pick up and play. It's not that hard to figure out. Once again, it's an over-the-shoulder third-person shooter, which personally I like. But like I said, it's fairly easy to figure out the controls. One thing that people have been bothered about that I've been hearing is that the fact that you can't shoot and move at the same time. Now, what I don't understand is you didn't complain about this in Resident Evil 4, but now you're complaining about it now. Because apparently the company announced that you were going to be able to shoot and move at the same time. But really, I don't see the need to shoot and move at the same time.
Why would you want to move towards zombies and shoot at them at the same time? If anything, you'd want to move back.
The whole over-the-shoulder thing makes it just seem like... Because, I mean, and even in Gears, you can't really run and shoot at the same time.
No, no,
you're like walking.
Yes, you have to be very careful when you're moving in Gears, especially because of those chainsaws, like me. Ugh.
But anyways, you can't shoot and move at the same time. People have been complaining about this, so I thought I'd throw it in there, but really, it's not a big deal for me. One new thing to add is you can actually play split-screen co-op or over Xbox Live on this game, as one of you playing as Chris and one of you playing as Sheva, which is kind of awesome, because, you know, it makes the gameplay a lot more fun. You're actually interacting with another person. The AI is actually, you know, intelligent, quote-unquote. That can vary depending on who exactly you are playing with. But I digress. One bad thing about this, though, that when me and my buddy Tom kind of figured out when we were playing through this together, kind of takes away from some of the tension and, like, the usual scare that you're used to finding in Resident Evil games, and that kind of sucks. I have to say, I enjoy being scared once in a while. That was part of the, that was one of the features of most Resident Evil games, so that's kind of, maybe that's just me imagining things, but I think it's taking away. And, but it has a compelling story, very easy to follow storyline. And actually, in each loading screen, they give you a history of Resident Evil 5, like even before the first Resident Evil game, like when Umbrella was founded all the way up to the present time where you're at now, basically. Like after Leon was in Resident Evil 4, all those events, it goes all the way up to that. But there's a few surprises in the storyline. Meet some old enemies and old friends. Enough said, you haven't played the games, so that's a spoiler. I'm not going to say anything. Buy the game, play it, it's pretty good. There's a wide variety of weapons you can use to kick some serious ass. A bunch of different pistols, shotguns, machine guns. Basically, the types of weapons you saw in RE4, there's different kinds of all of them. Once again, just as in RE4, the weapons are upgradable. However, you can no longer buy attachments for them, which I don't really mind. But my friend Tom didn't like it, and I guess I can see where the conflict would be there, because you want to buy attachments, because I know, like, in Resident Evil 4, there's this gun called the Red 9, which I like to use, and it was a lot easier to use with, like, I think it had, like, an extended clip, and you could get, like, a stock for it, so it was a lot steadier when you shot. But you can't do that anymore. No more attachments, and, no more merchant! I loved the merchant in Resident Evil 4. I just assumed he would use his magical merchant powers to be in this game, and just wander around everywhere you are without getting bothered by these crazy mutant people. But he is not. I miss his old saying of, "What are you buying?" or, "What are you selling?" I miss that. I loved the merchant. He was awesome. So that was a big, you know,
the merchant was the man. The merchant was the man. I like that. The merchant man. The merchant who was the man.
The merchant. Yeah, you don't even know his name. He was just the merchant. Actually, I believe when Resident Evil 4 came out, Nintendo Power actually voted him, like, the, he was, like, in the top five, like, side characters of, like, all time, I believe. I think he was actually, like, number three, I believe. Because they, too, enjoyed his, "What are you buying?" And I miss him. Rest in peace, merchant. I will remember you forever. But, and they also revamped the inventory in this game. A little different. It's basically just kind of set up like a little square inventory, got 9 slots in it, so you can only carry 9 items at a time. Which, personally, I like that better, because it takes out the hassle of organizing your inventory that you came across in Resident Evil 4, where you're constantly going into your inventory, messing with everything to get it to fit right. Personally, I thought that took away from the game, and it kind of bothered me a little bit. But other people like that, and also I can see where they're complaining, because 9 items, that's not very much, because you can only carry, like, let's say you want to carry around 2 guns, like, ammo for both of those guns. That's already 4 slots taken up, and especially if you're wearing, like, the melee vest, and that's another thing that you don't even use, and there's, like, healing and extra ammo, because pistol ammo only comes in, like, round, like, groups of 50, and then other ammo is, like, groups of 150, and shotguns only, like, 20. So you can't carry a whole lot of ammo. It severely limits what you can carry. That's kind of a downside to this. They kept Mercenaries mode, which I really enjoy, just run around shooting zombies, well, not zombies, mutant Las Plagas people, and also in each of, like, the maps, there's, like, some kind of, like, mini-boss character, per se, I guess, especially in, Prison, I believe. There's, like, the axe dude you see, like, in the trailers, this is kind of like the same as him, only this guy's actually wearing, like, more armor, and his axe is on fire, and he will you up. Severely. He will you up. And it hurts. You kick down a door and he's right there with his axe just like, "I'm gonna you." And then he does. He brings it down on your head and you die.
And it hurts.
It does hurt. Emotionally.
He moves slow though, right?
No. Actually, no. They move surprisingly quick for being so fat. I mean, they move fast. You'd be surprised. And they can jump really high.
So these guys have a little bit of enhancement.
These guys are BA. Do not mess with them. Do not take them lightly. Be very careful.
Take them down.
Yes.
As quickly as possible. There's little generators, I believe, that you can back up and shoot down and use to electrify them on your way down.
Yes.
That's a little tip for you guys.
You can actually use the environment more in this game. Like, there are, like Colton said, there are, like, electro generators. You shoot them, they shoot out an electric field that electrocutes the dudes. Stun them. Sometimes it'll kill them if you've done enough damage to them. There's actually an achievement you can get for killing a person by shooting a generator. I think it's called Ride the Lightning.
Which I think is neat. I like it when games incorporate the environment into... I think that's important that they do that. And it sounds like...
Yeah, it makes it more, like, I don't know, interactive, and I think more realistic.
It does, but, it does. And I think Singularity is going to do that, too, so that's
going
to be cool.
Oh, yes, from what we know, Singularity is going to incorporate the environment a lot into the gameplay, so that's something to look forward to. However, in this Mercenaries mode, there are only... If you actually pay attention, there are only four characters. Four. Now, I digress. There are more than four characters technically, but they're the same four people, just different versions of those people that carry different weapons and wear different clothes. That's basically all the difference there is. There's three different versions of Chris and Sheva. And then there's also Wesker, who there are two versions of him. There's Wesker, like, Midnight, I think, and there's Wesker Stars for, like, you know, a little nostalgia there. And there's also Jill. There's, like, the version of Jill from this game. And then there's also Jill, like, BSAA or Stars. I forget which one it is. But there's two versions for her also. So that would make it ten characters, technically. But really, it's only four. And that kind of bothered me. Because, personally, I liked Resident Evil 4 when you had, like, you know, you had Leon. Then you had Ada Wong. And then you had Hunk, I believe his name was. There's actually a video on YouTube I watched called Hunk's, like, Neck Snapping Ballet. Where all the dude does in his Mercenaries mode is he shoots them in the face, gets behind them, and snaps their necks. That's how he kills every single person. And it's set to a ballet music, and it is pretty awesome to watch. I recommend trying to find it. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it is pretty sweet. But that was my big thing on that. Mercenaries, there's only actually four characters. Quite a variety of maps. I believe there's six or seven. They might release more. And also, from what I understand, there's an upcoming versus mode. They're actually going to have, like, an online multiplayer where you can, like, shoot at each other, you know? You actually try to kill the other player. I'm not exactly sure how that's going to work.
Is it going to be that the zombie, or these people that are infected, are they going to be, like, a third factor in the game? Like, kind
of? No. There's, like, from what I understand, there's going to be two different modes. There's going to be, like, versus where you're trying to kill the other player, which to me is just kind of stupid. Because you can't move, number one, when you shoot. That's where moving would be important, is that in that type of gameplay.
Definitely. I think that's probably the only reason Gears of War has that feature. It's because you are trying to kill each other most of the time in Gears of War.
And you need to move to be able to, you know, move and shoot at the same time is kind of important. But then there's also going to be a mode where it's just you versus another player, seeing who can kill the most infected Las Plagas, Ouroboros, whatever you want to call them, mutants.
So an arcade mode.
The, kind of like an arcade mode, yes. Just seeing who could shoot more at the same time to get points for doing it. There will probably be, like, those mini-boss type things like there are in Mercenaries, I'm assuming. And they'll be worth more points, just like there are in Mercenaries. That's just me predicting. I'm not positive on that, so don't quote me or anything. But overall, it was a fairly solid game, but I don't know, there are just some things about it that bugged me once I actually thought about it, because at first I thought the game was like, oh, this is awesome, I love this. Then I thought about it a little bit more and put some thought into it. I'm just like, eh, this could have been better. It really could have been better. So I'm going to give it 3.5 1-Up mushrooms out of 5. And Colton also has his own little rating for it here.
Yeah, I gave it 4.25 1-Up mushrooms out of 5 1-Up mushrooms. And I haven't actually got to play the game all the way through, but I have played it a little bit. And from what I saw, that the graphics were really good. I was, like I said, I wasn't too disappointed without being able to move, and maybe because I wasn't able to play the other Red Factions. I really never got into it. I did play, like, Resident Evil 2, and I think I just said Red Faction back there, I'm correcting myself. Resident Evils, I didn't get to play them. I played Resident Evil 2 a little bit, and I remember the giant cockroaches if you set it on a really hard difficulty, and that was too scary for me. I was young, you know, and wasn't something I was willing to get into. But now I play games like Dead Space, and another thing with the inventory in this game that I saw, it is really small, and I think they should do something about that, because that would be aggravating for me.
But I also can see why they would only let you carry night items, because it really limits what you can carry, so it makes you kind of strategize a little bit more about what you absolutely need to carry with you. As opposed to just, like, things you just kind of keep in there just because you want them there.
That makes sense. But then, like, put a bank or something. Is there a bank?
Yes, there is a bank. I did forget to mention that. There, between each mission, like, storyline part, there is, like, a loading part where you can, like, take things out of your inventory and put them, like, in a, like, storage. storage space. It's like a big storage space. You can keep like extra items and weapons in there, ammo. And then there's also like a treasure slot for things you find. You can sell those to an invisible merchant person, and you make money, and then you can buy upgrades and all that good stuff. So yeah, that's pretty much all there was about the inventory. What was I going to say? I lost my train of thought.
He lost his train of thought.
I did lose my train of thought. Also, this is what I was going to say. People are worried that they're, that Resident Evil has diverted away from its traditional, genre of, survival horror. Because now, you know, you can move around, you can carry a lot of ammo, where before, as in the other Resident Evil games, it's more like survival horror, like puzzle. Like, you couldn't carry around that much ammo. Like, you didn't have, like, an inventory space, really. And the zombies were extremely hard to kill, and in fact, you weren't supposed to kill them. That was, unless you absolutely had to, you were not supposed to kill the zombies. You were supposed to avoid them, unless absolutely necessary, and then there was also the boss fights. But it really, it was a lot about the puzzles, and some people are kind of disappointed that Resident Evil has been moving away from that. But I just kind of think the way games are moving right now, people are looking more for shooters than puzzle games. And there are still horror elements in it. It does kind of scare you at times, and some of the things that you see in this game are kind of very strange and gross and will freak you out. Because like Colton saw in one of the first cutscenes, there's this dude getting like one of the parasites like shoved down his throat, and then he's like choking on it, and he's got tentacles like springing out of his body.
That was very gruesome for me. I agree with TG 100% on what they're moving. They're moving away from the earlier Resident Evils, but I really think it's necessary. If you look at Dead Space, which was a huge hit, it was expected to be a huge hit, and it's a lot like it. A third-person shooter, you have an inventory. The only difference is you can upgrade your inventory. You can make it larger. It also has a bank, but it moves along the line, whereas you are shooting these zombie-type things. They're actually aliens that are zombies, which is confusing, but if you ever play the game, I suggest it. It's a good game. It's the same thing, it's just different. Different genre. It's space. This is on Earth, and this is Biohazard, and this is a different genre. This one's a little more sci-fi.
Biohazard is indeed what they call it in Japan, so this would actually be called Biohazard 5, in case any of you in Japan are listening to us talk. I don't know. I doubt it, but you never know.
You never know with the internet nowadays. But, you know, I think that it looked like a really good game from what I played, and I would probably enjoy playing it, and I know for a fact I would just love to play the Mercenaries mode, because I love playing things like that where you work together. You can work as a team in that, right? Two-player?
You can play that over Xbox Live with another person, or like split-screen, like just like the co-op in the regular story mode, and then your points actually get combined together, and that determines like what grade or rank you get on the map, and that determines like what you unlock, like... You can't get any more of the maps if you don't get a certain grade, and you can't unlock the other characters if you don't get a certain grade on this or that map, that kind of thing.
I think that's cool. I really enjoy that. I really enjoyed the horde aspect of Gears of War 2, so this is something that I think I'd really enjoy, because it's along the same lines.
It is along the same lines as the horde in, Gears of War 2. It's almost, it's basically exactly the same thing, but there is not, like, a set amount of enemies that you have to kill. It's a time limit. You get, like... Oh, I think you start off with, like, 2 minutes, and then there are, like, time bonus things you can, like, punch, and then you get a bonus time so you can keep shooting them longer and get more points. And then, like, for killing X amount of enemies in a row, you actually get bonuses to, like, whatever points you earn from killing all those enemies.
And then you also get melee bonuses if you do them together with your partner, right? Because there's certain moves that you can do together with your partner.
Yes, there are moves you can do together with your partner. For example, if you shoot a guy in the kneecap, your partner can run up, and depending on if you're Shiv or Chris, you can, like, punch them or, like, kick them. And the other person, if they can get, like, behind them, they can do another move. And then there's, like, a finishing move where the person will, like, deck him or do, like, some kind of jumpy kick or... I don't know, with Wesker, he's got this thing where he can come up behind him and do this thing called, like, Ghost Butterfly, where he, like, stabs his hand, like, through them, and that's pretty cool. I enjoy doing that.
Everyone wants to stab their head. It's in the animes where I watch, where everyone is stabbing their hands in each other's chests.
Actually do that to you at one point, because it's just like Resident Evil 4, where you got like the interactive cutscenes where you have to press certain buttons or you die. There's a certain part where if you do not press a button in time, Wesker will indeed just appear in front of you and punch his hand straight through your chest. That happened to me, and I was like, wow, that sucks, but I was like, also... Damn, that was kind of cool. I wish I could do that. Not really. but it was still cool nonetheless.
So there you have it.
3.5 one-up mushrooms out of 5 for me, and Colton gave it a 4.25 one-up mushrooms out of 5.
We like mushrooms here, because mushrooms are cool, and so is Mario, and that was my very first game experience, and that's why we're...
That's why
we're so Mario-themed on the show, and you'll learn that. Everyone likes Mario. It was
almost like everybody's first game. If you're a part of our generation, Mario probably was your first game. Mario and Donkey Kong. Unless you're part of the older generation of gamers, in which case your first game was probably Pong. But we're not going to get into that.
We're not. But, like you said, we got 3.5 with Tyler over here, and then for me, we got 4.25, and that is Resident Evil 5 in a nutshell. This is Colton Peterson with Game Digest, and I'm signing off, and I don't know what TG's doing. TG, what are you doing?
I'm going to go clean the cobwebs off your Epsom salt.
So,
it's going to happen.
There you have it. We're cleaning cobwebs. See you all later. Oh, and by the way, if you want to get in contact with us, you can email us at fiddle-45@hotmail.com. That's fiddle-45@hotmail.com. And you can send us MP3s if you want to have us, you know, introduce segments to us, like little skits that you want to put at the end of the show or at the beginning of the show. Or if you have some music or something that you want us to put on the show, ideas, we want all of it. We want you guys to be close to us.
Yeah, yes, you know, we would love your input. If there's anything you would like to hear us review or, like, preview or something, we're open to your suggestions. We'll take them as best we can. It'll probably be majority rule if a lot of people are sending us, like, hey, preview this game. We'll probably preview that one. No, not to offend you, my minority people who are trying to promote a different game you want to see previewed. That's just how democracy works.
Yes, and you know, we might mention it, so it never hurts. We really want you guys to get in contact with us. Comment us on the podcast page. You know, do whatever you can to get in contact with us. And I'm not sure how we're going to get it up, but we're going to have notes up of the show, and we'll have all the links to all the stuff that we mentioned in there, like the videos and stuff. But like I said, this is Fiddle 45, Colton Peterson signing off, and TG's going to go clean some cobwebs.
Off your Epsom salt.
Epsom salt.